Welcome to Diverse, a Society of Women Engineers podcast. SWE gives women engineers a unique place and voice within the engineering community. On Diverse, we highlight incredible women in STEM and discover who they are at home, at work, and everywhere in between. You can find all of our episodes online at podcast.swe.org or wherever you stream your favorite podcasts.
Hello, I'm Alexis McKittrick, your FY24 SWE president, and welcome to Diverse, a SWE podcast. I am thrilled today to have Wendy Cock here. She is a best-selling author, founder of Engineering Leadership Solutions, a longtime SWE member, and also a keynote speaker at our We Local Baltimore conference this year. I personally own both of Wendy's books, Reimagine Your Work and Making Flex Work. And like many other SWE members, I have enjoyed following Wendy's progression from her engineering career into being an entrepreneur and author in her own right. So really excited to welcome Wendy to the show. Can't wait to hear your insights, Wendy, about how we all need to reimagine the way that we work.
I am so excited to be here, Alexis. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And so as I just referenced, right, you started out as a chemical engineer, samesies. Both of us have that in common. And since that time, your career evolved quite a bit. Let's walk listeners through that, through kind of the story arc of Wendy's career journey, what that's looked like so far. Talk to us about it.
Absolutely. So I started as a chemical engineer, mostly because I wanted to be a biomedical engineer. And Alexis, I'm just old enough that that wasn't really a thing yet. So I wanted to be one of those. And you could really only get it as a master's or a PhD. But I was from Atlanta, and Georgia Tech had a great idea to build their department. They said, if you can graduate with a 3.0 in chemical, electrical, or mechanical engineering, we'll take you right into that master's program. So I was like, yes, I will pick chemical engineering, which everybody is thinking that's the craziest of those options, except I was terrified of drawing, so I didn't want to have to do any sort of drafting class. And my high school physics teacher, unfortunately, was not amazing and had turned me off on the idea of electrical engineering. So I was like, well, chemistry was fun. Let's go be a chemical engineer. And it was just a stopping point, right? It was just a part of the journey. But I did something really important, and I joined SWE when I got on campus at Tech, mostly because they said they would feed me, but that's okay. There's not any wrong reason to join SWE when you're 18. But I learned so much and about all these other jobs that I didn't know a chemical engineer could do. So I ended up going directly out of college and into work as a chemical engineer and kind of put that biomedical engineer thing on a shelf, right? Said, oh, well, that was fun, but let me go work in consumer products. I thought it was going to be a blast. And it was. I spent 10 years doing research and development in a Fortune 500 company. I learned some of the most important life skills and professional skills as a member of Kimberly-Clark's R&D community, moved from R&D into supply chain manufacturing and operations, mostly because I am someone who likes to run towards a burning building. And we had a challenge with our portfolio of projects in our manufacturing facilities. And I had been managing projects and managing teams of projects. And so the leader in that organization called and said, would you take this job? And I said, okay, but I'm going back to R&D, just so you know, like, this is it. I'm going to come and do this and I'm going back. R&D is my home. And I never went back. I had so much fun working in that supply chain manufacturing operations team. I spent the next decade of my career working with those teams, leading a PMO. And then in 2022, after I thought the pandemic was done, I had been working in med devices. We thought we were like at a part where we could stop and breathe. Company restructured. And everybody from my level and above in my organization got laid off. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I just started looking for a job, and my husband stopped me and he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm in my 40s. I still need a job. Like, I'm not ready to retire yet. And he said, well, you know what you want to do when you retire. And at that point, I thought it was going to be leadership training and coaching and some consulting. He said, just do it now. Just do it now. And I stopped and I thought he was crazy. And then I said, okay, let's try it. We'll just give it 18 months. It'll be great. We'll give it a shot. We'll see how it goes. I am so excited to have made that career pivot. I call this stage of my career my first retirement because I'm obviously going to retire later, but this one's the first retirement. So I run Engineering Leadership Solutions. We do program and project management and continuous improvement consulting. I have had the opportunity to discover my passion for writing and as a result have these two nonfiction best-selling books on career development, which I just wouldn't even have dreamed that I would do. And then I got to go back and join the faculty at Georgia Tech. And that's how this story kind of comes full circle. I now teach biomedical engineering at Georgia Tech in a department that I never even got to go to because I'm too old. And I have so much fun working with those students. It's a blast.
Oh my gosh. What an amazing story arc. Wendy, thank you for walking us through that so much that was going to resonate with our listeners. So first of all, degree chemical engineers can do anything.
That's absolutely
proof of that. And your fantastic career arc and progression is proof of that. Have to put in a shout out for Georgia Tech, Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech right here as well. It's where my graduate degree is from. I don't know if we have that in common. And then I think the other thing that's going to really resonate with listeners is the problem solving arc, right? The running towards the fire and then the re-envisioning of your career when you had that moment to pivot. I've heard so many stories from SWE members about moments in their careers where they just weren't sure, right, what their next step was going to be. And so really appreciate you sharing with us, Wendy, kind of how you got to that pivot. I love you framing it as your first retirement and kind of where we're going to go next and where you're going to go next, I think is what we'll talk about as we keep going.
Sounds great.
The topic today is really around that pivot towards your authorship and again starting a new company and about reimagining work. So tell us what isn't working about the way that engineers have historically approached our careers and work as a whole. We'll kind of start with that stage setting. What isn't working now?
So historically, engineering has been a very linear career path. When you think about it, all those career books have ladders on them, right? But even more so when you think about our really technical engineers, you come in as an engineer one, and then maybe you're an engineer two, and then you get a bigger project and you're an engineer three, and then you become a senior engineer and then a principal engineer. We literally talk about it as if we are moving up a ladder. And unfortunately, in today's workforce, first of all, you cannot guarantee that you're going to be able to keep climbing that ladder, right? But more importantly, that ladder is not going to give you the variety of experiences that you need in order to be successful. What allows people to pivot and to stay so nimble is this constant refining of their product features. So I grew up in a small business. And when I wrote Reimagine Your Work, it brings that small business mindset to your career, really thinking about you as a business that sells you as the product. Doesn't matter who you work for. If you are the most important product that you're developing, you are going to go and try to find those activities and those projects and those experiences that will give you new features and benefits. If you're constantly trying to understand how you are positioned versus your peers in a way that gives you a strategic advantage, it doesn't matter what happens around you. And I think that's where our system is broken. We seem to believe as a group, not everyone, obviously, but as a group, that careers have logic to them and that what works for me is going to work for you and what's worked for the both of us is going to work for somebody 20 years younger than we are. And that's just not true. We each have this unique past and we need to figure out how to leverage that unique past to create a unique future because not everybody wants to be the same thing when they grow up. Not everybody has the same priorities. And so there really is this idea of customization that I see emerging, especially with the students that I teach. This idea that they were just going to like get in line and follow a path is just not what's happening anymore. And I'm excited about that, but companies now have to figure out how to keep up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I really appreciate that message for our members too, because I mean, we've been talking about that this year with our theme, Live Without Limits, right? Living without limits looks different for everyone. There is no exact ladder. There is no perfect career path. And everyone's going to have different facets, right, of their journey that is going to define it and scope it. I really like your reference that you use in your books to like you're the product. You're almost treating yourself, right? Like your career is the company. You are the product. Invest in your own R&D. Like I love that analogy, and I feel like it really resonates with folks because everyone gets that, right? Again, we spend less time thinking about our own careers and more time about like, how does our company work? How did these things evolve? And so I really like that.
I think SWE, to build on that, Alexis, I think SWE gives you a huge opportunity to really build your board of directors. So that's a big piece that I believe that is important for people when they're thinking about their company. One is their product features. One is their brand. We'll talk more about that later. But companies have boards of directors that help them to make strategic decisions. And as a member of SWE, you have a built-in board of directors that you can bounce ideas off of. You know, as I was preparing for my keynote in Baltimore, no less than three SWE members have had to listen to it on a recorded Zoom and give feedback because they're part of my board of directors and they are my target audience for that discussion. So they were able to say, oh, this resonates or this doesn't resonate. This is, you know, what's important. Leveraging this group is so powerful if you really put your mind to it.
Absolutely. Yes. Love that. Love that personal board of directors. A lot of my personal board of directors is also part of SWE, unsurprisingly. I think it's a good note to everybody out there that's listening. If you don't have a personal board of directors now, it's time to get one. Time to think about who is in that circle for you and who will give you that feedback that Wendy just mentioned. So returning back to this idea on this concept about running your career like a company, running your career like a small business, talk to me about what that means and how engineers can kind of take control of their career through adapting that mindset.
Yeah. So the first thing we need to do is really understand where are we today and where do we want to go? I led a continuous improvement team for years. And so that would be my current state analysis and my future state analysis, right? So what do I want to be in the future? And what does it take to get there? So depending on where you are in your career, that can take a lot of different approaches. When I talk to the right out of college students and I say, what do you want to be in say 5 to 10 years, which nobody knows, but here's a really fun way to do it. We all have access to thousands of online job postings. Go find some that you think you might want in the future and start to read what those requirements are. Then you can work backward to say, what do I need in order to be a competitive applicant when the time comes? Right. So you can go mine some of those job postings to figure out what can I do now? What do I have in my current state and what are my gaps? Then having led people for over half my career, I can tell you that if they work at any big company, a leader is responsible for helping develop their talent. They are responsible for setting goals and objectives, not just for the company, but for the people that work on their team. And if someone on your team as the leader comes to you and says, this is the gap I'm trying to fill this year, you just breathe a sigh of relief. As the employee, you're doing that homework for your boss. By the way, your boss is incentivized to pay for it. Your boss is incentivized to help you get that training. And you've just made it easier for them because you've served it up for them exactly what you need and why you need it. So you have a lot more control in that than you think you do. And your boss will thank you for it.
Yeah, win for everybody, right?
Yeah,
across the board. Oh, that's I love that advice. And I really like the thinking 5 to 10 years out, the thinking about that future state. Oof. I hope that inspires a lot of listeners to go out and start to look at those job requirements and let's see what you need. And if I may, maybe a little bit about how SWE can help you get there as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's again leverage that network, but also leverage all the great training and professional development that you can get as a SWE member as well.
You're absolutely right, Alexis. I got training in budget management before I would ever have been able to manage a budget at work. I got to run large events before they would have ever given me that sort of power at work. I got to lead teams before I ever got hired as a leader, right? All of those became skills that they were risk-free when they hired me. I already had those skills and I was able to get them from SWE. When I took my first management job, I had an entire half of my resume that was leadership skills through SWE because I wanted to set myself apart from everybody else who wasn't yet a manager who was applying. I became the low-risk candidate because they could see that I had all these skills already that I had developed through Georgia Tech SWE and Atlanta SWE and the society level involvement.
I really like that. And I get this question from SWE members all the time, like, should I include SWE volunteer work on my resume? Yes. Yes. And to your point, Wendy, the skills that you've developed as part of those volunteer leadership roles. Absolutely. Love that point. So let's talk about the future, since we're in the future state mindset now with that last question. What are the themes that are coming? What do you think is going to influence work in the coming years, particularly for women in STEM? What do you see coming for us?
We are some of the best positioned candidates to embrace hybrid work. We are in the companies that are the best positioned. When you look at the studies of the types of jobs that are appropriate to do on a hybrid basis, engineering and technology jobs really are those jobs, because we typically aren't doing all of our work with people that sit next to us anyway. We are going out into the field, or we're going out to a manufacturing facility. We are transitioning already between office work and hands-on work. As we continue to see that trend grow, which I know it spiked in the pandemic, everybody got to work remotely. It was great. Everybody loved it, except the people that hated it. And then, right? So then the people that hated it, who oftentimes were in power, said, we're all coming back. So we're seeing the pendulum swing the other way, and people are having to return to work. I believe we will find, just like any system, it will settle out. These giant swings from one direction to the other, the noise will settle out, and we're going to end somewhere different than where we began. What that means for SWE members and for industry in general, it is no longer going to be good enough to be the best at what you do in your geography. You're going to need to be the best candidate, period. But on the flip side, the best candidates are no longer going to have to only be tied to the employers in their geography. They're going to get to work for the best employers, regardless of geography, which means we may end up in a situation where we have a bimodal distribution. We have the teams that are the best performers with the best leaders in the best companies on one side, and everyone else on the other. I don't know about you. I want to be in that best group. I'm really competitive. I don't want to be in the everybody else group. So I am going to be trying to figure out what are all the things I can leverage so that I am ready to be positioned to be the best, whether that's from a leader or an individual contributor.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And I really like this message for all of the women engineers and technologists out there to think about that. Think about what's coming, not only so that you can position yourself to be the best, but also think about those opportunities that you just mentioned, Wendy, right? Again, you no longer need to limit yourself to exactly where you are in the world for some of these really competitive, really exciting positions with dynamic companies and organizations. I really like that future state, and I think that SWE members in particular are very well positioned to take advantage of it.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'll use that as a transition. Let's talk about SWE membership, because you have been a SWE member for over 25 years. Thank you
couple
for
years.
Being part of our organization. Just a couple. So talk to me a little bit. You've touched on this as we've gone through, but talk to me a bit more about like how SWE has played into your career so far. And What kind of keeps you coming back to SWE year after year as you go through your career?
So first of all, like I said, I just joined before I was even a freshman. I joined the summer before my freshman year at Georgia Tech in that career fair or college organization fair that they'll throw out on the sidewalk at a university when you're there for orientation. They threw me in right away. Georgia Tech SWE at the time, all the leaders were juniors and seniors. And I got the opportunity to shadow them immediately. There is no better way to learn than to watch and to really be a part of it and then to do it. And I got to do all of those when I was a student. I also found relationships and started to build relationships with the professional women in the metro Atlanta area. So when I stayed in Atlanta after graduation, it was not a question of if I was going to become a part of Atlanta SWE. They already, you know, they had my email address. They were telling me when the meetings were. I was a little overwhelmed going into that group as a 22-year-old. I was like, what do I have to bring to this professional group? It felt comfortable in college because we were all sort of in that same cohort. But what do we do? These ladies could be my mom, right? What was I supposed to do? And my very first, they threw me on the executive board because they needed somebody to be their secretary. And at the time, they were mailing everything. So I just want your listeners to think for just a moment. I'm not that old. And yet the communication method was mail. So yeah. I just came out of 4 years at Georgia Tech. There was no way that mail was the right answer. And
there's opportunity for improvement there.
Absolutely. I was like, there's no way. And they trusted me in my 20s to say, I think we can set up an email. I think we can get an organizational email. We can do this. It was 2002. We set up a Hotmail account for the section and we got everybody's email. You know, maybe it would have crashed and burned. Doesn't matter. But that's what the power of the network of SWE is, that these women looked and they were like, well, I mean, she just came out of tech. She was running a big organization there. Let's see what happens. We did not immediately abandon stamps, but we did pretty quickly afterward. I saw a transition as I moved into leadership. I was the Atlanta SWE president in my mid-20s. And we started talking about, at the time, what we considered non-traditional uses of engineering. Right. I think SWE went through a cycle where all of a sudden we were talking about, well, what is engineering and what isn't engineering? And if you're not a PE, are you an engineer? And if you're a project manager and you're in leadership, what does that look like? And so I got to be a part of all of that with Atlanta SWE and really change the dynamic of the programming that we were offering. I got to be a part of the grant committee at the society level. Before we had We Locals, I was the coordinator for the Southeast Regional Conferences. I think I did 12 of them in terms of support, either hosting locally or supporting. My husband used to tease because every fall we would start these conversations again about the conference planning for the spring. And he'd say, didn't you just have this meeting? And I'd be like, yeah, last year. But we're having the same conversations again because it's a new group of people. And so we were constantly evolving and creating templates and really getting to mentor, which I love. And then I became a counselor at Georgia Tech SWE years ago, I think 7 or 8 years ago. And when I joined the faculty at Tech, the very first day there was a note on my door of my new office at Georgia Tech from the Georgia Tech section president that said, we're so excited to have you here. Right? It felt like coming home. Those were my people. And they sought me out to figure out where was my office on campus and make sure they knew that they were excited that I was back on campus.
That is amazing. I love that community, right? That last anecdote speaks to, and all of your stories, Wendy, about your time in SWE. Everything from, like, I heard strategic planning, I heard empowerment to try new things and new ideas and new skills. I heard managing large complex teams and events, mentoring, right? And then, of course, as I said, that at the end, the networking and the community, like what not only a diverse skill set, right, that you've been able to build through SWE over the years, but clearly an opportunity that you've executed on to kind of give back to others as well. So you learned all these things through SWE, but then you also gave back to SWE, giving back as a collegiate counselor and as a member of SWE committees. So thank you for that, because I think that's something we try to reinforce with folks. It's not just the, like, what can you get out of SWE, because there is a lot, as you just said, but also, like, how can you kind of reach behind you, right, to help up the next person or help others develop those same competencies.
What an exciting story. And I think it's important to know that you don't have to wait until you're old to give back, right? You can give back in lots of ways. You only have to be, like, a minute more experienced than someone in order to be able to help make their path easier. So you don't have to think about, well, I'm not ready to give back. There's always something that you can give, because SWE is giving you the opportunity. How are you going to leverage that for someone else?
Yeah. You don't have to wait until you're the mom in the room.
That's right.
Your point about earlier, you don't have to wait. Absolutely. Bring folks along. So this has been an incredible conversation, Wendy, and I really appreciate you sharing so much of your story with our diverse listeners. We at SWE really like to end the podcast with kind of the call to action, the what's next. So before you go, if we have kind of engineers and listeners that are tuning in that want to take control of their career in the ways that you've clearly articulated and clearly done, What's the first step? What can they do today to start them down that path to take control and redefine their own careers?
Yeah. So I also love a good action item. So I listen to everything with a pen and a paper. My students tell me that's because I'm old. They take everything with an iPad. That's okay. Take it out your note however you want it. But my actionable step would be figure out what your current brand is. If we go all the way back to the beginning of this conversation of you are the product that you are selling, what is your brand? We all have one, right? We all have a brand. And the actionable steps is in Reimagine Your Work. There is a section, if you have it, it is on page 87. But there is a four-step plan for how to determine your brand using your social media. So there are three questions that I suggest that you ask your social network one at a time over the course of several weeks. The first question is, what is one word would you use to describe me? This is powerful because you're going to get all sorts of different words from different people, and you can start to see where there are patterns, right? Where do people give me the same types of words, and where do people give me different words? Where are the outliers? So the second week, you're going to ask another question. You're going to say, what am I best at? You're going to, again, get a variety of answers, but this is what people have in their mind when they think of you. So when somebody says, I need someone to do X, do they think Alexis does that well? And then they'll recommend you. If, however, you are also looking for a job right now or thinking about it, this is a great way to tell people you're looking for a job without telling they're looking for a job. Because when they tell you something that they think you are excellent at, it's a door open for you to have a conversation about your career with them. So if you just happen to be also looking for a job, this is a great door opener. And then the third one is, what is your favorite memory with me? Now, this one is a little different because a lot of people will not feel comfortable putting that answer in the social media. So you're going to get a lot of private messages and a lot of emails there. And I really think it's because they don't want to incriminate themselves. Like, they don't really want to be associated with that memory, but they have it and it made them smile. So they'll send it to you privately. That doesn't make it any less important. But if you have all of those pieces and then you stop and you reflect on what comes easily to you that is difficult for most people, now you've got all the pieces you need to put your brand together. What comes easily to you that is difficult for most people, that is your secret sauce. It doesn't mean it's not valuable just because it's easy for you. If it's difficult for someone else, it's valuable. So I know that was a lot of actionable steps, Alexis. So if you go to reimagineyourwork.com, there are free resources and the brand exercise is one of those. You can print out a one pager or even go look at it and say, okay, those are the questions that Wendy mentioned that I need to go ask.
Oh, thank you, Wendy, for taking the time to walk us through that process and for the resource reference as well. Appreciate you making those resources available to everybody on your website. I like how at the end of this progression, you end up with what sets you apart, right, from others, like what really makes you unique in your contributions. And I think that can be really hard for folks to find. And I really love and appreciate that you've taken the time to help walk folks through how to get there and how to define that for themselves. Love it. Sure. And if I had to describe you in one word for this podcast, it would be inspiring. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today, hearing about your career, Wendy, how you can help others reimagine their work, how you pivoted your career, notes on branding here at the end, notes on how SWE can help you through your career and support you. Really inspiring. And I know that our listeners are going to come away with so much that they can make actionable in their own careers as they think about themselves. And they think about themselves and their career, hopefully as a small business, and get that board of directors, invest in their own R&D and move forward. As I mentioned, Wendy is a keynote at our We Local Baltimore conference this year. Thank you so much, Wendy, for being a keynote. So we hold multiple We Local conferences around the world each year to bring together participants in all stages of their collegiate and professional journey. We Locals create space for engineers to connect through professional development sessions, inspirational speakers like Wendy, and of course, networking opportunities. We hope that you have the opportunity to join us for one of our We Locals in 2024. or in the future. And if you'd like to find out more about We Local conferences, please visit welocal.swe.org. I'm Alexis McKittrick, your FY24 SWE president, and from all of us at SWE, thank you for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Diverse. Please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with your social network. You can visit podcast.swe.org to keep up with our episodes and learn more about how the Society of Women Engineers empowers women to achieve their full potential as engineers and leaders.